We're speaking now with three of our city officials. We have with us Mayor Shelby Ronstadt. Shelby, thanks for making it.
Pleasure to be here with you, Chris, and good morning to all your listeners out there.
And our city administrator, Jennifer Stapleton. Jennifer, thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And finally, last but not least, our city parks and recreation director, Kim Woodruff.
Thanks, Chris. We're happy to be here.
So there's always a lot to talk about with the city, but we're going to be on just a single topic with this interview, and that is a possible renewal of the resort city local option sales tax, which, if as it's being considered, would add 1% to purchases made within the city of Sandpoint. And there's a survey that's active right now. It's online, and the city's looking for feedback from residents as to whether they would support this 1% sales tax or not. We'll circle back on that. I thought I would give a little bit of background to start with. So the resort city local option tax is available in Idaho only for cities with a population of less than 10,000 that have a lot of tourists. They're classified as resort cities. The concept is that the sales tax would share the costs the tourists would help pay for the extra services that small towns can have due to the impacts of tourism, all those extra people in town, which could be for anything from police and fire services to waste disposal to impacts and costs on parks in these resort cities. In 2015, Sandpoint voters passed what I think was the first ever local option sales tax for us locally, and that funded the new grandstands Memorial Field and the subsequent work to install the new turf and the field improvements there. But that tax was approved for just 5 years. It expired last year in 2020. And so now the city is potentially considering another tax, renewing the tax basically. And with that, Mayor Ronstadt, let's throw it over to you. What is the city considering now?
Yeah, well, we're really, you know, as you mentioned, Chris, we put a survey out to voters and we really want to hear from survey respondents, from citizens out there in Sandpoint and the broader area, what they see as the greatest priorities for using those funds. What we know is that with the local option tax in 2015, voters approved that at 73%. They really prioritized War Memorial Field as the premier sports complex in Sandpoint, and they thought that it was so important that we refurbish those grandstands and make those field improvements for extended play throughout the year that they approved it with 73% of the voters. So that's really an impressive number, and we feel like we've got one thing that Sandpoint residents have demonstrated time and time again, and certainly that's the case with the local option tax, is that we really value quality of life here. And that's certainly been a mantra for me in this position in my years here. Time and time again, we see investments in recreation and in public spaces as a top priority for citizens whenever issues like the Parks and Rec Master Plan, for instance, that was approved by City Council last September. That was the most robust public engagement effort that we've ever undergone here in the city. We had over 1,100 people in the community that participated in that project participated either through survey responses or through workshops and focus groups and other kinds of engagement. So we really heard from the community through that Parks and Recreation Master Planning process. And what we came up with was a fantastic Parks and Rec plan that I know we're really proud of. I know Kim's really proud of. And what that did is it identified four areas in the city that we want to invest in our public spaces and recreational opportunities. One is the downtown waterfront, which includes the Farman's Landing along Sand Creek there, as well as the Sand Creek parking lot, and the City Beach, improvements at the City Beach there. Another component, as we already know, is War Memorial Field, which was already pretty much completed and approved through the local option tax investments there. But others include the sports complex over at Traverse and Centennial Park. And then the last component of that Parks and Rec Master Plan is the Little Sand Creek watershed. up on the way towards Schweitzer there. So what we're proposing with this, what is being proposed with this local option tax is that that 1% tax be used to fund implementation of that Parks and Rec Master Plan. It's an expensive proposition. It's a big project. It's a bigger project than the War Memorial Field, but that's why we really put it out to the voters out there through this survey to really assess from them what are the top priorities, what do the community members out there want to see first and foremost. And so please, if you have a chance, that survey is going to be live for another 6 days. If you go to Engage Sandpoint or go onto our website, you can find the survey link there, and we'd love to hear your input on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll throw in, if you go to the City of Sandpoint website, cityofsandpoint.com, there's various ways to get there, actually. If you scroll down the page a little, about halfway down on the left side, you'll see a button to go to the survey. So, Kim, let's put it to you. What sorts of impacts do we see on the parks that this would fund that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise?
Well, I think that the mayor really did an awesome job of kind of summarizing the bigger picture. And I think that we all agree that are listening that we have shared that quality of life as a priority. That's why probably the majority of us are here. The master planning effort that we just went through was really very interesting and telling as well, and a lot different than some of the other master plans in some other areas where we just didn't go to our existing parks right now and say, okay, here's what we have right now. How can we make it better? Or what, you know, small things can we do? We truly went with open eyes and said, what would happen if we started with truly a blank slate of our town? And if we were going to create a town and a park system, what would we do? And how could we position ourselves for not just 2 or 5 years now, but 25 and 50 and 100 years down the line? A lot of the park systems that we come to in the towns, especially in the West, that they're developed, it's not that they've been opportunistic, but they've kind of developed and then built on some of the older infrastructure. And so taking this fresh look at saying, what could we do and identify, and not only for parks as far as our recreation, but economic drivers and our stormwater treatment. You know, we have public space here. How can we best maximize that? So that was really the eye opener for me as far as going into the master planning process and hooking our wagon to Green Play. And the people that came in, and it was cool because I've been here for a long time. So yeah,
I should say Green Play was the consultant.
Oh, Green Play. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do that, Chris. Thanks for clarifying for everybody else. To be able to go in and look at that. And so we just kind of looking at through different eyes coming into our town. So I've been there, like I said, for a long time. And I remember when we looked at the city beach and said, well, what would happen if we got this property over here and moved the boat launch over there? And the first time I saw it, I go, yeah, right. No, that's not going to happen. But you know, truly, when you open your eyes and look at the positioning of what that does, is takes that facility and turns it not just into a water access and a passive recreational opportunity, but because of the proximity to our down, a true driver. And then that kind of bleeds over into the Sand Creek area. And the Gunnings Alley, which is now the
Farman's Landing.
Farman's Landing. Yes, I'm trying to change my old titles for the new. But it is and one of the things they said when they came in, I said, well, how come you guys just park on your waterfront? And so it's a parking lot, and then you park your cars there right on the creek side, and then you walk up and do your stuff. And so to truly realize that how many towns would kill for that opportunity to have that Sand Creek waterfront right in the middle of their town. And so, and then to be able to go into our sports complex and say, this is awesome, we've got all this stuff over here, but how can we be more efficient in the long term if we, you know, we're a small town, and even though we do like our tennis courts at the beach and maybe at the Lakeview Park and at the sports complex, but we're a small enough area, if we were to take all those courts and consolidate them in the sports complex, and then built 30 pickleball courts because that's, you know, the, an upcoming thing. And then we have a economy of scale and efficiencies that we can enjoy for a long time. So there's been a lot of thought process going into the master planning. Again, from me, again, looking at, say, okay, how are we going to position ourselves, again, not just for next year or the following year, but for a long, long time. And so that's where I'm super excited, you know, looking at the master plan. And to make that happen, they truly are, there's some major moves. And they're major moves that have to happen at the same time or in proximity. And we can't just go off and knock off a little bit here and a little bit there. We have to have a concert and an effort that we're working together in a puzzle to be able to kind of make the move. And for that, it's going to take a financial plan with something kind of driving the seed money. And that would be, we're proposing the sales tax, I'm hoping. Is because we're able to take that money over a 15 or 10 or 15 year term and take that cash and then double or triple it with our grant opportunities that are out there now and truly get this done. So it really is, it takes when we had all the drawings out in City Hall and kind of was like a pie in the sky type idea, and people go, wow, that's awesome, but you know, I'll be dead by the time that happens. It's like, no, we can do this now. We can do it. And Sandpoint can get together. And the cool thing about the sales tax thing is that right now the general fund is what funds a lot of our park projects. And where the general fund gets their money is from inside the city of Sandpoint, the property tax inside the city of Sandpoint. And what the sales tax does, yes, it's still a tax, but it comes from when you purchase things. And so it's not just when you own property or you pay your rent and indirectly pay property tax for the city of Sandpoint, but the people who visit our town in the summer. I live 3 miles up Baldy, so when I shop in town, all those people who use our large park system and robust park system get to participate. And I think it's a real opportunity for us to participate financially in that. So right now, again, we're just the burden through the general fund is 100% on the property taxpayers of those 9,999 people that live inside Sandpoint. And I appreciate you going over the 10,000 part, because this really kind of is an opportunity for us to capitalize, get on our plan, fund our plan, come up with the match money to be able to go for the grants and truly get this done. So it's a vision that I've had for a long time, and I'm really excited that we're going to finally have an opportunity to do this. So I kind of got on my wagon there, but
what was the original question? How do you really feel about this stuff? Yeah. So I guess this begs the question, if this isn't financed through something like the resort city sales tax, is there another financing mechanism that we can accomplish these improvements to the city parks? Mayor, I'll put that to you.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. I mean, it's going to be piecemeal, and it's going to take a long, long time, and it's going to be, as we get grants, small grants that come in over time, and we just slowly build towards that vision. But, you know, to Kim's point, I think, you know, it's going to be decades before we see any real progress if that's what we have for funding. So this is what's proposed is a hefty, you know, it's going to come with a price tag for sure. But if you haven't had the chance to look at the Parks and Rec Master Plan, which you can, if listeners are interested, they can look at it on our website. It really is an amazing piece of work and quite a vision that's a community generated vision.
How do people get to that if they jump to the website?
The easiest way to get to it is actually in our survey itself. If you go into the survey and the introduction in the survey, and when you click on the Parks and Recreation Master Plan in the introduction, it will take you to the whole document. Okay. So,
and again, that's a green button on the homepage, left side, a little bit farther down.
I do want to really hit home on that point that on this point, and Kim brought this up as well. It's really important is that, you know, really our only funding mechanism outside of leveraging outside dollars is coming from the general fund, and that's property taxes. Those are Sandpoint resident property taxes. That's basically 8,600 people that are paying for any potential improvements that are coming through our public spaces, to investments in our public spaces. This local option tax could be our last chance, because once we hit that 10,000 population threshold, which, as we all know, the population here is growing, Sandpoint is growing rapidly. Once we hit that 10,000, we're going to lose our opportunity to levy that tax. So this could be our last chance to do this. And what that does is it really spreads that the cost of that project out, not just to everyone who's shopping here. So let me remind listeners that there's 47,000 people in this county. The majority of those people are coming to Sandpoint every day to work, to shop, to buy gas, to buy groceries, etc. Not to mention the hundreds of thousands of tourists and visitors that come here through the course of the year. All those people are now contributing to this project through paying, you know, the 1% local option tax. Mm-hmm. So this is really our one shot to you know, shoot for a grand vision and leverage all Sandpoint, you know, leverage the dollars of all visitors of Sandpoint throughout the years ahead to achieve this vision.
Yeah, so that's kind of an important point, that people who live just outside the city limits don't contribute anything to the city parks that a lot of people outside the city limits do frequent, including myself. I come in, love the city beach. I'm there, you know, 2-3 times a day in the summer. So that's folks that are maybe outside the city limits say, hey, that's just going to be a tax I have to end up paying too. Well, they can consider that they're contributing to the services that they might be using. One question, if the money does become dedicated to the city parks, does that free up other parts of the city budget to pay for other services that are also impacted by the population outside the city limits, such as police and fire?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Jennifer, you may want to add to this too, but so, you know, when we look at the budget at the beginning of the year, we know how much revenues that we have projected coming in, and we have to allocate our resources based on what our priorities are. And if we weren't able to pass a tax like this, but yet this was it clearly determined to be a community priority and a priority of council is going to feel pressure to try and take some money out of the general fund to put towards these priority projects to implement the Parks and Rec Master Plan. If we already have a funding mechanism to fund that plan, then those general fund dollars are not affected, and they can go towards police, towards fire, towards other city services.
Mm-hmm. Well, and streets as well. I think an important component in thinking about investment in assets is our assets within our park systems also generate some of the revenues that support ongoing improvements to the system itself. So, for example, our boat moorage is a significant income generator into the park system. That money stays reserved for the park system and supporting improvements. One of the concepts for the City Beach Master Plan is increasing the amount of moorage that we have. This, I think, was our first year ever with the longest waiting list, turning away a lot of people that were really disappointed, and primarily city residents, with being able to get boat moorage. And again, those revenues from boat moorage, and city residents pay less than anyone that may have boat moorage that's living outside of city limits, and those revenues come in and support improvements to the marina itself, but they support capital improvements and our maintenance and operation costs within our park system.
Mm-hmm. And one last thought is that when we did put these master plans together, we thought about long-term value and efficiencies when in design. So we can all build parks and they're awesome, but really the long-term costs in parks and quality of life space are maintenance and ongoing. And we've taken that into consideration up front. So really, our enjoyed long-term savings will be, in my mind, forever. And so that's really where the value for me is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to run out of time in a surprisingly fast bit here. But why don't you touch on this, Shelby, impact of the 1% tax that just sunsetted a year ago. Did you hear a lot of people that felt like they were being unduly taxed or suffering hardship So a 1% tax, for instance, would add a penny when you buy a dollar's worth of stuff in town. Or let's say you had a $100 purchase, it would add a dollar to the cost of that. What kind of feedback did you get while that tax was in place?
Yeah, we did get some feedback, and I think overall it was, the feedback was overwhelmingly positive. I thought where there was some hardship, it was more around implementing the tax, right? It was small business owners and vendors that, you know, found it complicated, the process of transitioning and how to...
To collect that extra penny.
Exactly, yeah. And then what was the process? And so, you know, once we had that all figured out and refined, I think that, you know, that went really well. So now, you know, at this point, you know, people are accustomed to it. They've been doing it for 5 years. Granted, we've taken a year off. But I think it's important to mention, too, that City of Ponderay just passed a local option tax, a 1% tax last year or at the last election. So and they're similarly, they're investing their tax in parks and public spaces. So this is, I think that this is great for Sandpoint. It's a great opportunity for us to leverage some outside dollars to have some real capital improvements in our community that were duly vetted and really the whole vision was wholly driven by, this was a grassroots effort. It was really generated by the community itself. So I'm really excited about this. I think it's a great opportunity, and I hope the voters see it the same way.
So what's next? Is right now it's just an idea that's being talked about. There is a survey. Once again, go to cityofsandpoint.com, scroll down, find the green button to take the survey. But you still have to decide whether or not to put it on the ballot. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, City Council will be considering that at their meeting on September 8th. So that'll be at 5:30 at Council Chambers. And of course, you can watch or participate in those meetings remotely if you choose. At that meeting, Council will decide whether or not to put it on the ballot, and then it will be. If approved, it'll be placed on the ballot in November, and that'll be a November 2nd election.
Mm-hmm. So there's actually two places where this may or may not go forward. One would be the council says, no, we're not even going to put it on the ballot, mm-hmm. but it does go on the ballot. So in the end, the city residents get to decide if they want to have this tax approved or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it takes 66, I think. It takes supermajority.
I think it's 60%.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is a supermajority. So it has to. Yeah. Last time it passed was 73%. It's kind of remarkable to see 73% of the people agree on anything. But I think it goes to the.
That was the good old days.
Yeah. And we're still in the good old days. We can do it again.
Well, that went to the love of Morrill Field, I think. That one. So this one, we'll see what people think about it. Again, it's on the cityofsandpoint.com. Go there, look for the button to take the survey. And as you said, there's a lot of other information about what the Parks Master Plan is and the specific things that might get funded here. I guess that would be one question. Is the Parks Master Plan pretty well set now? This will go to approve the plan without any changes, or are there tweaks available to the master plan?
Well, there will be a lot of opportunities. So we have concepts that have been adopted by the city council, and similar, what people might remember is what we did with concepts for the downtown. We have concepts for our roads, our streets downtown, and the redesign of that. But before we went into final design and construction, we went back out with public workshops, and there will be tons of opportunities this fall. We're going to begin engaging in those efforts. We've hired a new parks and recreation. She's our master planning, so master plan and development manager, Maeve, who will be here in person in about 2 weeks. And so she'll be leading a number of community workshops where we really vet. We've already heard from people that maybe they still want to keep tennis and pickleball in the different parks, not all necessarily consolidated at one park. So there's certainly an opportunity for all of those discussions, and those workshops will be happening this fall as we move forward with final design.
And I'll throw in that you're collecting some of that information on this survey as
yes.
well. People get a rank, list of about 15 specific improvements, whether they'd like to see money go for those or not. And there's also a question about acquiring more parkland, because as we grow, there's a threshold that good city planners try to meet to have a certain number of parks available.
That's right, as well as trails and connectivity.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are out of time officially here, so I want to say thank you, Mayor Shelby Ronstad, City Parks and Rec Director Kim Woodruff, and City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, listeners.